Welcome to the Star Zone. I'm Patty Spagnuolo. From resource fairs geared towards our students to arts and entertainment aimed to connect with our community, Lansing Community College hosts many events throughout the year, and the Star Zone gives you a rundown on what's on the way, where it's happening, and how you can get into the zone at LCC. Welcome to the Star Zone. I'm Patty Spagnuolo, your host. Today's guest is Lane Ingram. Lane is Chief of Staff at Lansing Community College, where he drives strategic initiatives, streamlines operations, and fosters a collaborative environment to support the institution's mission. And full disclosure, he's a very dear friend of mine. Lane, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, let's jump right in. A Changemaker Center is located in the Gannon Building on the third floor. And I took a look at the webpage, so I'm going to read what the blurb is on the webpage. It says, the Changemakers Center exists to honor the extraordinary individuals who shaped Lansing's past while inspiring future generations to create their own legacies of positive change. Through cutting-edge interactive technology and immersive storytelling, we preserve history, celebrate achievement, and prove that ordinary people can accomplish extraordinary things. So can you talk a little bit about how the project got started and, you know, what inspired it?
Well, first, what did you think about that blurb you just read? I wrote it. Did you like it?
I thought it was awesome. I was going to say. Yeah. It was funny because when I did read this, I'm like, well, somebody did a really good job on that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The Changemaker Center is really amazing. It's awesome that the college took on this project. And so the way it started, way back in 2022, one of our former trustees had an idea. And he said out loud, what if there was a place on campus that honored and recognized the contributions of African Americans from Greater Lansing? And he went on to say things like, you know, there have been so many people past and present who've made such a great impact on people and on our community. And so the college had to decide how could we do that. And so we brought the board three options. One was a sculpture, because like you know, we have sculptures all over campus. We could do a regular sculpture, we could do an outdoor landscape, or we could do a technological installation. And that's what they picked, to do a tech installation. So from about May of 2023 until just, you know, a month ago in our grand opening, we've been working on putting that together. And so the Changemaker Center is kind of the result of that.
It's just amazing. And all of the names of people and the history that it contains. I've been up there several days this week, just kind of getting the feel for it and running through some of the stuff. And I'm just, the work that had to go into that is amazing. The sign on the exhibit reads, Welcome to the Changemaker Center, a celebration of the visionaries, leaders, and trailblazers who have shaped Lansing's African-American heritage and community. What are some of the activities and focal points of the center?
Oh, yeah. So the Changemaker Center, we have on our website, you can do a quick trip in 45 minutes. You can take 60 minutes, or it really takes about 90 minutes, maybe 2 hours to get through all of it. And so right on the, we call them walls 1 through 5. So on wall 1, it's a full-length LED display, and it's basically a 27-minute looping video that gives you quotes. It gives you fun facts about changemakers. It goes through a timeline of Lansing's history. You get footage from the Pave the Way document. And so that's just a really cool kind of immersive thing that you could stop and watch and learn something from. The meat of the exhibit really is wall 2, which we call the Changemakers Chronicles. And that's where you're going to find out about all of the changemakers that are in, that have been inducted. And so every 2 years when we go to add more inductees, their stuff will go there. But on that wall, you can see their bio. You can watch a video on all of our inductees. You learn fun and interesting facts, and then there's also a gallery. We have the Trailblazer Zone, which is basically three interactive games. So there's a timeline game, a trivia game, and kind of a did you know game. Wall 5, you have Lansing Through Time, which basically takes people through Lansing's history from an African-American perspective from 1847 all the way basically to forever. You know, every year something is happening, and so there'll be an update there. And then the final wall is called Echoes of Excellence, and that's really where we have artifacts and mementos, you know, either representing Lansing, representing change makers, or just representing milestone achievements, you know, throughout our history of Lansing. So it really does kind of touch on all aspects of what, you know, African Americans have contributed to Lansing.
Awesome. Like I said, I walked through there several times, and I did take the trivia quiz yesterday, and I think I got like 40%. So it's good that, you know, and as I was doing it, I was kind of giving myself a break. Like, you know what? If you knew it all, you wouldn't need to be up here
exactly
going through
right.
it. So
exactly right.
this way I'm learning something. So I was kind of interested. How did you get a hold of all of those artifacts that are in the showcases, like the trading cards of Irvin Magic Johnson and the guitar? I'd never seen that guitar
yeah,
before.
It's an awesome thing. But so that's what makes the Changemaker Center so awesome as well, as that this really was a community effort. And so super thankful to our partners at the Historical Society of Greater Lansing and Bill Castaner and his team. We got the Irvin Magic Johnson trading cards from them, as well as that 6-point star guitar, which is really cool. I mean, that was patented in 1913 by an African-American designer here in Lansing, and so that's a replica of that. A few of our inductees offered items to us, which we hope that continues to grow. And so since we've been in contact with them after the grand opening, we've received more things to go in. And so we plan to swap those out every year on Juneteenth.
Oh, wow. How mm-hmm. cool. I was going to say either that, or did you leave enough space to add to?
Right. So every year people will get to see something new. But again, like the Historical Society has just been a great partner to us for that.
That is awesome. I wondered about that. The educational modules seem like a heavy lift for somebody. So whoever built that content, could you maybe talk about like how are those developed?
Well, it depends. You mean on Wall 3 or like Lansing Through Time? Which
like
part?
Lansing Through Time. With
yeah.
All, yeah.
So we had a really great core group that included, you know, our media services team. We have college historians and then the Historical Society. And so what we wanted to do was figure out a way to go from 1847 to the present. And what were the major kind of eras that we could break down all of that information into? And so you see things like the Great Migration, right? Then the Second Great Migration, the Civil War, the Civil Rights era, school busing. And so in conjunction with our historians, we chased all of that history down to try to, one, be accurate, and two, make sure that we weren't missing anything. But you're right, it was a big lift, but really important to share all of that history in as expansive a way as we could. And I want to tell you where that wall came from. So we put together a focus group, a second focus group, and said, here's what we're thinking for the Changemaker Center. And they said to me, we think this is great, but Lansing has such a rich history of African-American culture, and so maybe one of your walls could tell it just from that perspective, not focused on an inductee or a specific changemaker. And so that Lansing Through Time is directly out of that focus group, from them telling us, no, Lansing's culture from an African-American perspective is really rich. There's a lot of things that happen, a lot of people that have paved the way for us. And so it was certainly a task, but it's turned out just phenomenal. I mean, I learned a lot through it.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I was just up there, like I said, this week and yesterday. And the music selections, too, it really hits you when you're watching the videos and just it's really an emotional, like a stirring. You know, I could just really feel. So in thinking about that, stirring those strong emotions, what are you hoping that people experience and walk away with?
I think, you know, honestly, I hope that when people walk away from the Changemaker Center, I hope that they've been inspired. I hope that they learn something. And then depending on who it is, like if it's our students, I mean, I hope that they get a chance to see people who look like them, who maybe walk these same halls, who are from this city that they've grown up in, and I hope that they see that they too can be change makers. When it comes to people from the community, just like me, you know, I'm Black, you know what I mean? And so I think as I was working on this project, just the gravity and weight of its importance was not lost on me. The things that I learned about the people that came before me, not lost on me. And so I think it'd be difficult to not be inspired, to not consider how the things that you do every day, how they could impact the people around you or an entire community. And so I hope that people come and really try to just experience all that it is. You know what I mean? Learn about a change maker, learn about our city, see some of the great work of these people who have made it so that I can have the job that I have today, so that our students can get the education that they're getting today. I mean, so I really hope that people leave inspired. I hope they leave and want to come back and bring more people.
You know, I think, too, from like a historical standpoint, it's hard to teach history, right? Because history is being made every single day. So now you expect these, you know, K through 12 teachers to be able to teach all of this stuff because we keep adding to it, you know, because we're still going. But something like this, it really puts it back into the forefront and makes people remember that it wasn't just all of a sudden you turned a page and we're all here and we're all doing this. When I see some of those photos of these entire families outside of a car, and they were in the middle of their migration. And I'm just thinking, how scary is that? Because a lot of them were fleeing the Jim Crow areas, you know, or the Jim Crow era, which caused them to move north. And then when there was discrimination for jobs and housing, and it's like, so what are you moving to? You know, you must feel like you're jumping from the frying pan into the fire at some point. And I just thought, you know, the barriers that was faced and how these people, with little or no help, made it. They made it. And they changed life for everybody else. Mm-hmm. And that just, it needs to be honored.
Well, you know? I think it's about courage, too. You know what I mean? The thing that I kept coming back to working on this was just the incredible amount of courage that it took to stand up and to fight, and the resiliency that it took. I mean, that's what I just continue to come back to. And so I think, you know, we're two different people who experience that thing differently, but also the same. I mean, it's wonderful, and it's important to make sure that, you know, when you're talking about history, that these stories are preserved, you know what I mean? And then not only preserved, but celebrated. And so that's what the Changemaker Center is about. And it's going to continue. You know what I mean? That's the great thing about a tech installation, is that we can update it forever. And so what we're trying to do is put it in a place, though, so that when I'm not here anymore, or when, you know, the administration changes, right? Like, people can continue to take care of it and make sure that it's maintained. And so it's exciting.
It is. It is. What do you think, like, what do you want people 20 years from now? What's that going to look like? You know, who knows, right?
20 years from now. I mean, that's one of the great things about LCC, though, is that we built things to last. And so I think in 20 years, you gotta consider, let's say we put 10 in every year, every 2 years, right? So we're talking, what, another 50 people are going to be in the Changemaker Center for people to learn about. When you think about Lansing through time, in 20 years, we'll have 20 more years worth of amazing accomplishments and people to celebrate, because it's about progress. You know, if you look from 1847 to the last entry, which I think was for 2024, a lot has happened, and there's still more work to do. And so I think 20 years from now, I'm hopeful that people will still be able to engage with it. I hope that, you know, One thing I will tell you is that before 20 years, we hope to add motion activation. There'll be more in-depth interviews with inductees and their family members. I mean, it's going to continue to evolve and change. But 20 years from now, I firmly expect that I'll be retired, and I'll come back to the college, and I'll say, look at them. It looks so awesome. That's what I think.
So explain a little bit motion. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
What's that going to be?
So on Wall 3, which is the Trailblazer Zone, where we have our games, we have it kind of ready. Like, we built it in the background so that when we get to Phase 3, we're ready. But motion activation, so you'll walk up and the exhibit will recognize you, and you'll be able to interact with potentially a change maker. And I got this idea. Dr. Robinson and I went to the Muhammad Ali Museum in St. Louis, and there was an exhibit there where you could walk up and you basically could be boxing against Ali.
Oh,
and I thought to myself, I don't want our people to box our change makers, but I do want to be able to maybe have a conversation, or you could put yourself into their situation, or maybe, you know, you're back at, you know, one of the old elementary schools or something like that. So here soon, we're going to look at that. Not too soon. The media team will kill me. But soon as in Phase 3, whatever that is. But yeah.
Wow. That is awesome. And the technology will just keep growing. So
exactly.
Who knows, at some point, you know.
Exactly right.
I don't know. So is there anything else that you wanted to add about the Changemakers, and maybe, I don't know, some personal insights on it? Or
I think I would just say, one, we put in 30 to start. And that's certainly not the number of change makers who have had an impact on Lansing. And so I would tell people, we have a form on our website where you can nominate a change maker, because this is a community effort. We want to know, are there events or milestones that we missed? Are there people who you think are change makers? And if so, we want to know about that. So that'd be the first thing. Every 2 years, new change makers are going in. So be thinking about that. The second thing I'd say is, it's free. We have public hours. It's open on Wednesdays from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. and on Fridays and Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And I would just encourage people to visit and bring their friends and bring their family, because we're excited about it. We want to share this. We want to share this with our community. And I think thirdly, just from a personal perspective, you know, I'm very thankful that I was able to work on this project. And I'm very, very, very proud of the team that worked to put this together. It is a beautiful space, but more than that, it tells so many amazing stories. And that team worked so hard. I mean, it was a 3-year project, and the feedback from the community has been awesome. The outpouring of support has been awesome. And so I just think people need to see it. You need to see it to experience it, and I don't think you'll be disappointed.
It is riveting. So you said people, it's public, they can get in. So will the building be open on those times then too?
Yep.
Okay.
And so they have come in on floor 3, so parking the Gannon ramp, and the doors on floor 3 are going to be open. Okay. And you can come right in. And there's going to be a nice takeaway piece for people, just to kind of guide you through the space and let you know what to expect. But plan for 90 minutes if you want to see as much as you can. And on that Trailblazers on wall, here's a hack for you. Make sure you go to walls 2 and 5 before you try to do any of the trivia, because that's where you'll get the answers from.
All right. Now, that would have helped me yesterday. Yeah. Thank you very much. So just running back for a second, the inductees in 2 years, will there be a new ceremony or something for that? Or how does that work?
We're working on it. Oh. We're working on all of that. I think, you know, we like our kind of Black History Month of February is a good announcement time for us. That's when the grand opening was. And then we like our Juneteenth swapping out of the artifacts. And so I'd imagine, you know, announcements, you know, 2 years from now, 2028 in February, and then sometime later in the year, we make sure that their information is up on the wall and things like that. And so basically people have majority of 2027 to nominate future change makers, with us making the announcement February of 28, and then working on compiling all their information, creating their videos, doing interviews, stuff like that.
Awesome. Well, it is a great space, and I can tell that everybody, I'm sure it was a labor of love, you know, but it still had to, like I said before, a heavy lift, and you guys did a great job. Knocked it out of the park.
So. I appreciate that. Well, what I say is we can do anything at OCC.
I think you're right.
And we can.
All right. Well, Lane, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yeah.
And this is Patty Spagnuolo, wishing you well, everyone. Thanks for joining us here on the Star Zone. For more information on this episode, visit lccconnect.org. You can also find a complete list of Lansing Community College events by visiting lcc.edu/calendar. Until next time, thanks for getting into the zone.
Connecting you with Lansing Community College, this is LCC Connect.
LCC
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
K-12 Operations at Lansing Community College has been a proud collaborator of the Mason Promise Scholarship since 2016. For more information on the Mason Promise Scholarship at LCC, please visit lcc.edu/hope.
I'm Stephen Cutter, and I host a show called Coach Cut's Corner here on LCC Connect. Coach Cut's Corner is about Lansing Stars baseball program, mental performance, and just getting better in everyday life. You can always find more about LCC Connect shows and listen on demand at lccconnect.org.
Work, school, grocery shopping, doctor's appointments, to the kids' soccer games, out for movie night, over to Grandma and Grandpa's house, and on last year's amazing road trip. Your vehicle takes you so many places. Lock it or lose it. If you suspect auto theft, contact the National Insurance Crime Bureau at 1-800-TEL-NICB or visit our website at nicb.org. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
A healthcare-related job training program is now offered 100% online through the LCC Job Training Center. The program prepares students for medical administrative careers and certifications, allowing them to learn at their own pace and on their own schedule. More information about the Medical Front Office Specialist Program can be found at lcc.edu/jtc.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Now Spinning, the official podcast of the Lansing Community College Vinyl Record Club. We meet twice a month to listen to vinyl and talk about music. Stay tuned to learn about how you can get in touch with us and attend our meetings.
Hello, everybody. This is Tyler. Simon's not here right now. He'll be back, but we also have Andy here.
Hi.
But today, we have a pretty good playlist to talk about.
Yes.
We're talking about the...
Colors of Clue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like the Colonel Mustard.
Yes. So any
Professor
cover
Plum,
that's like...
Purple, yeah. Red, white, blue, yellow.
Yes. Any album with those colors.
Yeah.
So we got a fun collection.
A very wide range of of music genres, too.
Although noticeable exceptions are Weezer's Blue album.
Or the Beatles' White album.
Yeah, the Beatles' White album. That was a shocker that those two didn't come up.
Yeah.
But I did bring in Prince's.
Yeah, so Let's Go Crazy. First off, to start, we've got some great little country rock by Michael Nesmith and the First National Band. We got Calico Girlfriend. It's one of my favorite, if I could say most Monkees fans' favorite Monkee is Mike. Very influential, at least in terms of like country rock, because Magnetic South, the song this album was from, Calico Girlfriend, was off Magnetic South. It's one of the first instances of country rock, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, I was listening to this before we recorded, and it was a jamming. I was jamming along to it. Like, that was really, really, really fun.
Yeah.
To listen to.
Next up, we've got a little Bill Haley and his Comets, a song from 1955. It's not Shake, Rattle, and Roll. It's not Rock Around the Clock.
This guy?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's Bill Haley. Yeah. It's Dim Dim the Lights. Some notable pieces of this include him name-dropping potato chips and cherry Coke, which I think is pretty funny. It's a nice little sock hop sort of song. Great if you're a fan of the 50s.
Yeah.
Totally recommend.
I mean, this guy is credited with really inventing rock and roll. Like,
at least
instance of rock and roll.
Yeah, I'd say it's more so bringing it to the white audience.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'd say he is definitely a pioneer. I'd say that's a pretty good term to put him in. And next up is a song that I brought in called Mr. Hyde by the Cherry People, which interesting kind of sunshine pop sort of sounding thing about Mr. Hyde, assuming, you know, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Mr. Hyde, please come outside. You know, that's what's kind of going along in my mind about it.
Yeah.
But they only released, I'm pretty sure that was the only album they released.
I've never heard of the Cherry People, so they might be a one-hit wonder.
I think so, because this album on Spotify, it says, including their 1968 hit, and Suddenly. So I assume that was their big hit.
Yeah.
It's a good song.
Are these
album.
The 60s? Are these like the pop rock people, like the Beatles sound?
No, it's more sunshine pop.
More sunshine
pop? Like Harper's Bazaar, Spanky and Our Gang, you know, stuff like that. And next up, we've got a good yellow song, Mellow Yellow by Donovan. Interesting guy, Donovan here. He was the guy that made Sunshine Superman and Season of the Witch and Mellow Yellow. Those are his, like, three most well-known songs. This song, it's very yellow, I do have to say.
Yeah, look, talks look about the album art. That's, there's gold on it.
Yeah. Next up, let's talk about some White Freightliner Blues by Townes Van Zandt. Not to be confused with Ronnie Van Zandt of Lynyrd Skynyrd, but I haven't heard this guy. I think he's been played, so I guess I have heard of him. But this is like up north sort of songs. Like, if you're up north, you know, on a boat, maybe a White Freightliner, maybe, then this is the perfect song, and Townes Van Zandt is the perfect feel for that. If I had discovered him when I was up north working on Mackinac Island, I would have probably listened to all of his albums.
So you're saying that he's like a mood setter?
Yeah, very much so. When I was driving up here today, I was listening to it and I was like, no, this isn't the vibe. But if I was driving up north with maybe some trees and not as much concrete around, then I'd say, heck yes. But it's just good, chill, nice music. I think it was live as well. Yes, it is live. Where? We don't know.
Mm. Who knows? Live versions are definitely, sounds different than the recording album.
Yeah.
There's more, it's usually like a bit up-tempo. There's like more to it,
yeah.
More energy to it.
I mean, we talked about the live songs and stuff in our live meeting episode
right.
a while back, and how most live songs are live in parentheses, like Beach Boys Party or Live Bullet. It's like recorded live with quotation marks around it, because usually there's some editing in post-production to bring up like cheering and all that stuff,
right?
Which is pretty nice.
So there's definitely like editing to do the mixing,
yeah,
make sure that you're not just getting screams, yeah, and the crowd noise behind it, actual song.
Yeah, I can't really say, because I've never edited an album or produced an album or mixed an album or anything like that, but I assume you hear like lots of guitar or something like that, and the audience can sound very faint, and yeah, so they like to pump that up to make it, you know, sound pretty good, at least I believe. Next up is Strange Life Tragicomedy by Ultimate Spinach. Interesting. Ultimate Spinach and Cherry People. This would have been two good bands for a food meeting.
That would have been, yeah.
Yeah, but Strange Life Tragicomedy.
Very rad album.
Yeah.
Very rad.
That was the theme, bring in colored albums and stuff like that. And people did bring in colored vinyl too, which I really did appreciate.
Oh my God, yes. That was fun.
But back to the music.
Next, we got Take Five, and I've been dying to play this ever since.
You've been dying to talk about it too,
yes,
I can
ever
tell.
Ever since I joined the club. And so Take Five from Dave Brubeck's Time Out is called Take Five because it is written in 5/4. Uh-huh. So if you don't know, music is measured in how many beats there are until the pattern repeats. So almost every single song you hear, especially nowadays, are written in 4/4. You can count it 1, 2, 3, 4. Most waltzes are written
3/4.
3/4. So if you listen to Piano Man, marches are usually written in 2/4. So if you listen to Sousa, that's 2/4.
I love Sousa.
You can go like 6/8. If you want to be really technical, you can go 12/8. But 5/4 is, you don't normally hear that because it is extremely awkward to count. You gotta go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you swing it, you gotta ba dum ba dum bum bum ba dun da dun down down. So it kind of just writes itself there.
I see what you're picking up. I'm picking up what you're laying down here.
Yeah, so Dave Brubeck just put a simple blues line to it. And so you just got the ba di 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 ba di ba di ba dum ba dum ba dum ba ba da dum ba dum ba dum ba ba dum down. And this was written at a time when jazz got very technical. Like, this is the time of Miles Davis, John Coltrane. Like, you can just, like, classic.
So, like 50s sort of stuff.
Yeah,
okay.
Kind of like that. And I think it was so successful that I think there's, like, spoofs. I know someone wrote, like, a Take 7. So, like, yeah, it got real fun there for a moment.
That's interesting. Very interesting. It's very snappy and jazzy and stuff like that.
Yes.
Going back to Strange Life Tragicomedy, you kind of jumped the spinach, I guess. It's kind of a rocking kind of garage thing that I really like. Anyway, jumping back is I Lied to You by Miles Kanton. It's from Sinners, which is like, I believe it was won some awards or was nominated for some Academy Awards, I believe. It's got Michael B. Jordan in it. I haven't seen it, but somebody brought up a very interesting idea up on social media that I saw, that there are no A-list actors anymore.
Really?
There's only like directors. Like, you see this, it's not like, oh, it says, the album cover says Sinners, original motion picture soundtrack. It doesn't say starring Michael B. Jordan, da 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 da. It says a film by Ryan Coogler, and his name is in yellow. It's a different color. So most movies are like,
right.
You know, more directors than like actors and actresses by now.
Yeah. Except for like way back in the 50s and 40s, mm-hmm. where it's like Cary Grant or like
Jim Carrey,
yeah,
you know, stuff like
starring
that.
Starring Jim Carrey, yes.
Yeah. But aside from the movie tangents and all that stuff, an interesting little bit is Cannibal by Tally Hall. This is very interesting stuff. I know Tally Hall is big in like the club. Oh. It's a very, very black and white. It's a cool looking cover, be honest, kind of bringing up the theme of the different colored covers. I think that could be the theme of like a black and white and gray meeting.
There's a lot of albums black and white.
Yeah, I know, and gray too. Like yes. The Stranger is kind of gray. Black album, Beatles, white album.
You can call it like Harley Q because that's like, you know, the classic black and white clowns.
Yeah.
Harley Q, that whole thing. So, yeah.
Next up, we've got Ride My Seesaw by the Moody Blues. Jacob brought this in.
Moody Blues is fantastic.
Yeah.
I got another one of the records.
Yeah.
Oh, that one was blue. I don't know why I brought it.
Jacob's was blue because it was like a compilation of their stuff. And it was pretty good, I got to say. You know, very, very 60s, very kind of like acid rock kind of. But the Moody Blues, they're really good. If you want to get into said Moody Blues, you got to be moody and you got to feel blue. You also got to look for them in the dollar bin. They're a pretty notable sight in the dollar bin. I got to get into them.
Yeah, I've also got to get into them.
Yeah.
I have one of the records.
Go to the record lounge. I am 99% sure you will see a Moody Blues record in that dollar bin. Not as much as like Barbra Streisand or Kenny Rogers. Next up, we have a record that I wanted to bring in for a long time. We've got Orange Blossom Special by Doug Kershaw. It's very interesting. It kind of goes slow. It's, you know, Doug Kershaw, we've talked about him in previous meetings and all that stuff. He's a Cajun guy, born in Louisiana. He made Louisiana Man, which is like his big known hit, and it's like covered by a few bands like Harper's Bazaar and Jan and Dean.
Wow.
But in this one, it's strictly instrumental. It's just him on his fiddle, and he's, you know, doing a cover of the tune Orange Blossom Special, which if you've heard the Johnny Cash version, I believe it's a harmonica that goes, but it goes softer and louder.
So is it like Southern rock a bit?
More like Southern Cajun folk music.
Oh.
Well, the song goes softer, louder, louder, to louder, to louder, to louder, and slower, to faster, to faster, to faster, faster. And he just goes hog wild on that fiddle. It's wild. I suggest, as I've mentioned before, listen to Doug Kershaw. He's got good Cajun stuff.
So next, after that, we got Prince, Let's Go Crazy from the Purple Rain album. And yes, we could have played Purple Rain, but even I can admit that Purple Rain is a bit overplayed.
Whoa, hold on. Are you admitting that an overplayed song is overplayed?
Yeah, wow. That's big. I'm the guy that's all mainstream. I don't care.
Yeah.
Good songs are good songs. But Purple Rain's a bit overplayed.
Yeah.
Not to say that Let's Go Crazy is not overplayed.
Well, it's a little bit, but it's not. Like, I've said this before. I'm not, like, Prince is awesome.
Prince is awesome.
Like, I've said this before, time and time again, where I wasn't, like, a fan of this song, and then I heard it once. I heard it again, but in like the comic book store in downtown Lansing. And I was like, wait a minute, this song isn't that bad. And it's not. It's just, I don't like how he drags out the ending, but I really admire him. He's an excellent guitar player.
Have you seen the clips of him doing a big giant solo at some rock concert?
Of what song?
While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Yeah, that was at the concert for George, the concert that they did for George Harrison after he passed away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen the clips at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and my God, does he just go at it.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's goosebumps.
It is.
It very much so.
Also, from this album, I want to talk about the vinyl. So I brought this one in, and I bought it at Target. So it's a little fancy.
Yeah.
And it's a purple vinyl. But mm-hmm. when you hold it up to the light, you can actually like kind of see through it. And there's a tie-dye effect. I don't know if that's just a byproduct of how they made the ink color or something.
My assumption on purpose is my assumption.
I've heard.
Very much so. I do want to mention Jacob also brought mustard plug. I love mustard plug. Coming from the guy that only listens to 60s and stuff, mustard plug is great. I recommend that you listen to him.
Yeah.
Do I have anything about to say about What You Say, which is the song that was played? Not too much. Just go listen to mustard plug. Next up, we've got Blue Danube Waltz by Symphony Orchestra.
Blue Danube, yes. Jacob also brought that in.
Shout out, Jacob.
Yes.
I got to do it. Friend of the show. Speaking of waltzes and how earlier you were talking about, you know, 5/8, 4/4, 3/4, this is a great waltz. Do you have anything to say about it, Andy?
No, other than when he played it, the transition from the previous song that was played during the meeting was absolutely fantastic. I think, what was it? It was like some hyped up rock going crazy, and then you just get Blue Danube.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, what a power move that was.
There are so many waltzes that are great. I recommend if you want to deep dive into something else, like if you're bored of what you listen to on a day-to-day, for one, listen to these playlists. They're out on our website. Look up Lansing Community College Vinyl Record Club. Look it up online, and you'll see all of our playlists from all of our meetings. You'll also see podcast episodes and like some little factoids about our members and stuff like that. But
and a schedule for when you want to come to our next meeting.
Or, if you don't want to, you can listen to some waltzes or listen to some classical.
Or bring in whatever. It's completely optional. Up to you.
Yes.
But please come in, enjoy some free pizza, and listen to great music.
Yes, I agree. Speaking of great music, next song, Young Lust, Pink Floyd.
Yes.
Love that song. Oh I love God. The wall.
And you maybe do the transition from the... I forgot what the previous song
the
on
blue
this album is.
Empty Spaces.
Empty Space, like, yeah, the transition on the...
How should I complete the wall? Boom. I'm just a new boy.
Yeah.
Stranger in this town. You know, all that stuff. I told you, that transition's amazing.
It was.
The Wall is amazing. Spectacular album. I could not recommend it more than any other. I'd say it's even better than Dark Side of the Moon. But, you know, that's...
I concur, yeah.
Yeah. Just Pink Floyd. I'm sure we'll probably do a deep dive Pink Floyd sometime. Like, you can't just talk about Young Lust. You got to talk about the whole thing. I know we've talked about Run Like Hell and Waiting for Worms and The Trial and Comfortably Numb and all like the well-known songs.
The Wall, Part 2.
Yeah. I'm more of a fan of Brick in the Wall, Part 3. Anyway, the last song is Give a Damn by previously mentioned Spanky and Our Gang. And this album cover is...
Very yellow.
Very yellow.
Very, very yellow.
Very much so. It's about, you know, like, give a damn for your fellow man. You know, those are some of the lyrics. And how would you feel if you put your girl to sleep at night with rats instead of nursery rhymes? Oh. But I got it on 45. It was my first Spanky and Our Gang album that I have. Great sunshine pop group. I recommend them. But other than that...
That does it.
That's it. Thank you all for joining us. Simon will be back and will be better than ever. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Sharing the voices of Lansing Community College. Visit us at lccconnect.org.
LCC
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Engaged learning and academic success is a priority at Lansing Community College. To help students navigate their educational career, LCC has created a proactive approach to learning and providing students with several academic support services. To find out what's available, visit lcc.edu/services.
Hi, I'm Greg Laddick, and I host a show called Stars on Sports with Assistant Athletic Director Stephen Cutter here on LCC Connect. It's all about Lansing Community College Athletic Department. You can always find out more about Stars on Sports and listen on demand at lccconnect.org.
Nearly 1 in 2 U.S. adults have high blood pressure. That's why it's important to self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. It starts with a monitor. Be next to talk to your doctor about your blood pressure numbers. Get down with your blood pressure. Self-monitoring is power. Visit ManagerBP.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Studies have shown that learning a new language can positively impact your concentration, memory, and overall communication skills. The Adult Enrichment Program offers the opportunity to learn fundamental Spanish speaking, reading, and writing skills through cultural activities and in-person conversations. No prior experience necessary. Visit lcc.edu/keeplearning for more information.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
This is Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, a podcast and radio program presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. Most any contemporary musical style can trace its roots back to the blues. Time Signatures explores the blues and its musical connections with captivating interviews, lively discussions, and news from the world of the blues.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up and down these Michigan roads, yeah.
And now, here he is, your host, Jim Irvin.
Baby, I'm home.
Well, thank you so much, Parker, and welcome to Time Signatures. I'm your host, Jim Irvin. And today's guest has an incredible story steeped in the history of the blues. In 1979, she and her husband, Sanford, opened a little place called Rockefeller's in Houston, Texas. Rockefeller's quickly became known as the go-to venue, not only for the blues, but also for jazz, country, and even some rock and roll concert events. But Rockefeller's was just the beginning for our guest. She also started the legendary Gulf Coast Entertainment and developed the business into what has become known for their white glove approach and unyielding attention to detail for their clients. I'm pleased to welcome Susie Kreiner, founder of Rockefeller's and Gulf Coast Entertainment. It's a pleasure to have you. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, Irv. Thank you so much for inviting me on the show. I'm really happy to be here. I was just thinking about you're saying I was steeped in the blues, and I have to say I never intended to be in the blues business or even the music business generally, and certainly not to open a nightclub or to go on and make a career out of booking music for 45 plus years, but here I am.
Well, there's a lot to unpack here, and I'm excited to hear some of your stories. But Susie, we have to begin with you. Where did your passion for music come from?
Well, honestly, I had passion for big band music because that was Daddy's favorite, and we had a special place for that in our relationship. I loved listening to it with him. He was a naval officer, and when he came home from duties overseas or out of town, he'd always put the big band music on, and we'd listen to it together. But as I say, I'm not a musicologist. I'm not a musician beyond fifth grade piano music, but my husband and I were actually involved in renovating an area near downtown in Houston called the Heights in the 70s. Okay. I was in an MBA program, and one of the properties that we were renovating was a beautiful old Beaux-Arts building built in 1928. The architect was Joe Finger, who also designed City Hall here in Houston in 1928. But we thought, what to do with this beautiful building? So I dropped out of the MBA program and helped my husband find a way to make it pay. It seemed to lend itself to being a nightclub. We added some beautiful guitar-shaped or piano-shaped mezzanines between the Corinthian columns. And we thought probably local regional artists would be best there and make the most sense. And it was a time in Texas in 1979 when it was big for Texas blues bands. We had Stevie Ray Vaughan and Lou Ann Barton, the Fabulous Thunderbirds, Marsha Ball, yeah. The Juke Jumper, Fort Worth, and even Pete Mays from Houston. So there was a lot of blues around. So we tried the local talent, but it turned out it wasn't enough to fill the room. And then we needed some big acts. So we went to LA with a little info sheet about Rockefellers with a pretty photo of the interior. And we had a party at the Beverly Hills Hotel where we networked with as many local managers and agents that we could round up and feed and drink them. Mm-hmm. And we met a number of nice people, one of whom was Sid Seidenberg, who was B.B. King's manager.
Yes.
In those days. And we mentioned to Sid that we thought B.B. King had a crossover audience. And he was playing at JB's Entertainment Center, I think, a black club on the south side of town at the time, I believe. And we convinced him that B.B. could reach a wider audience through our club. And he agreed. He was looking for better venues for his artists, too. And over the years, Rockefellers had, after in the ensuing years, we had a lot of those artists who appreciated a beautiful venue. We had Ella Fitzgerald and Ray Charles and Tina Turner, James Brown and Albert Collins and Bo Diddley and John Lee Hooker, just lots of great blues artists in those days.
Well, Susie, I have to ask you, it's gotten the better of me. I need to find out, who was your first performer and how did that evening go for everybody?
Funny you ask. The first national entertainer you're talking about, aside from the local regional artists, was Jose Feliciano. And Jose, as you know, was blind.
Yes.
But he sensed from us that we were good people. And he realized that we respected him. We paid him in cash before the show. We were respectful of his rider and his person. And I honestly think he went back and spoke to his manager, and the word got around that we were okay kids. I mean, we were just in our 20s. But I think after that, we started getting the calls, would you like to have our artist play your club? But I think that was
a major
opening for us.
Yeah. And irony of ironies, in 1979, along about November, my family was relocating from Bay City, Michigan, down to El Paso, Texas. So we went right through Houston because we went down to San Antonio and then cut over to Houston and then made the jog over to El Paso, just kind of seeing the sights on our way. But so that first night, you had put in all the work for that big show. Were you excited? Were you nervous? Were you concerned about how the evening would go? How did you feel?
That the first night of the club was extremely exciting, of course. I was 7 months pregnant, and I had been unfreighting bar stools all day. And I was really happy that we were open and finally on the road. But if you're asking about the first night we had a national entertainer with a full house, that's when we realized that that there are no problems when you have a full house. Then you have Art Pepper and you had four members in the audience, that's a problem. And that's anxiety producing, but there are no problems when you have a full house. So those were the good nights.
Yeah.
And
indeed.
We had many, 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 many of those. But we also, you know, as Buddy Holly said, jazz is for the stay at homes. And we had some excellent artists there with very small audiences, but it was still worth it. We considered our club a public service in some ways.
Yeah, well, and the thing about your venue, if I'm correct, it looked like it could be a big house. I mean, 325 is not a massive room, but it's not a teeny room either. What I would consider a very nice, inviting, kind of a homey spot, correct?
It is in a way. Certainly when there's a good crowd in there, it feels great. There are two-story glass windows that we lined with royal blue velvet to help with the acoustic. We did lots of acoustic treatments, but it was a marble floor, it was a marble ceiling, it was plaster walls and Corinthian columns and lots of windows. So the acoustics were excellent for acoustic music. It was a challenge for some of the hard driving rock and roll.
Yeah.
But I'll say we had, maybe 550 people in for a Fabulous Thunderbird show, which was really pressing the seams of the building. But if we had 150 people, it felt great for somebody like Leon Redbone or the Chieftains. But for Ella Fitzgerald, it was a respectful crowd of, 326 people for two shows a night. I should mention, because of the size, many of the artists we had required our having two shows a night.
Sure.
So to make the payroll, Ella was such a wonderful woman, and she would, of course, have two shows, one at 8 and one at 10:30, or 10 o'clock, I guess. So she'd play from 8 to 9:30, and then we'd say, please, Miss Fitzgerald, rest and relax, towel off. And she said, oh, no, honey, these are my fans. I've got to sign their, whatever they have, I've got to sign my their records and sign their autographs. So she didn't take a break. She just went.
Wow.
Her fans went back on stage. What a elegant, beautiful performer.
Great. I want to ask you, Rockefeller's became known as a huge hotspot in Houston, obviously, and you hosted many big names. You've actually named a few of those. I'd love to hear some more of the names of the people that were there. I mean, you had such a great run over that 18 years.
We really did. Well, I mentioned the Fabulous Thunderbirds and Stevie Ray. We had in the blues department, we had Taj Mahal, Jimmy Witherspoon, Sun Seals, Gin Room Full of Blues, Albert Collins, Tina Turner, Albert King, B.B. King many times. I guess we had him 30 or 40 shows.
Wow.
He would play five nights twice a year, two shows a night for 4 or 5 years there. We had Bo Diddley, Buddy Guy and Junior Wells, Willie Dixon, Gate Mouth, Roy Buchanan. I mentioned John Lee Hooker, Coco Taylor and Dr. John.
Wow.
Did I mention Ray Charles?
Yes, yes.
Bobby Blue Bland, Robert Cray, Fats Domino, Bonnie Raitt many times, the Pointer Sisters. It's hard to say that these are strictly blues performers.
I get that. I get that.
Tool and the Gang, Anson Funderburg, Leon Russell. I think it was Muddy Waters who said blues had a baby and they called it rock and roll.
Yeah.
So we, there's a very, really no lines between blues and jazz and rock and roll and the whole spectrum.
Now, so, I was reading in your list of people that you had play there, some of the other genres of music, and you had Garth Brooks playing there. At what point was Garth there? Was it early on?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I'd have to look up and see what year it was, but it was probably mid-80s, maybe.
Okay, so he hadn't even really broken out yet.
No.
Fantastic.
Clint Black, we come over and his manager came and said, this is going to be the next big thing. And Clint Black was just a baby.
Oh, in preparation for this interview, I was lurking around the GCE website, and I love the story of how what is known now as Gulf Coast Entertainment began. Could you tell me the story of the Party Company, please?
Oh, Party Company. Well, one night at Rockefeller's, a client came up and said, you had the Four Tops at Rockefeller's, and I'd like to know if you could book them for my daughter's debutante party. And I said, well, yeah, I sure could. Hadn't thought about that end of the private party business, but it certainly opened a whole avenue for me and the rest of my career, in fact. So I started the Party Company, which was to book entertainment for private parties. And at the same time, I was catering, designing invitations, setting up the ballet, doing what they call now the event coordination. I was the original coordinator. But unfortunately, with a name like the Party Company, I would get calls in the middle of the night saying, do you have a champagne fountain? you could bring over, or even worse, like, hey, baby, you want to party, you know? So I had to change my name, and it was the music that really fascinated me and interested me and was really my passion. So Gulf Coast Entertainment seemed like the right direction to take, because obviously we're here on the Gulf Coast, and our Gulf Coast artists from blues, zydeco, rock and roll, jazz, we're steeped with it down here. So yeah, we have it here, we export it wherever our clients are.
Well, Susie, in all the years that you've been associated with this fine organization, is there one event that stands out to you as maybe the one you're most proud of being involved with?
Golly, Irv, that's really hard. There are so many facets to my almost 50 years in this business of booking music. I've been involved in the Houston International Festival for 10 years, booking music from all over the world, which was such an eye-opener and wonderful. We started a Houston chapter of something they have in Charlotte called Music with Friends,
okay,
which is a subscription opportunity to bring music to for a small group of people. And through that, we had Tony Bennett, and that was a special evening. I've had...
Let me jog your memory for a minute.
Okay.
It seems to me I remember hearing about a birthday party that you put together in Pebble Beach.
Oh, that's a good one.
I'd love to hear about it.
Yes. Well, wonderful. Little Birdie must have told you. A wonderful client in Houston.
I was doing my homework.
had a surprise birthday party for her husband in Pebble Beach at their lovely golf club there, and asked us to hire Jerry Seinfeld to surprise him, and it was great. Jerry and his manager came in by private plane, and they could not have been nicer, and the production for that kind of show couldn't be easier. It's a microphone and a stool and a glass of water. So it was just a pleasure to meet him, and one of the neighbors was invited to the party was Clint Eastwood, and Clint was making the rounds just saying hello to the birthday boy, but all of the guests were of course wowed and pull out their phones and snapping pictures asking him to turn around and make a group shot and sign autographs, and I said, Mr. Eastwood, I kind of grabbed him by the elbow and I said, I need to take you over here. And so I ushered him outside, and he said, whew, thank you so much. Thank you so much for getting out of there. It was a little much. I mean, he was a good sport, but that was overwhelming. So that was a lot of fun. That was a big one.
Yeah, I loved reading about that. I actually was on your page reading the interview portion on there in the blog, and I saw that, and I just had to have that story told because it was really cool. But there's another neat little story on there about James Taylor, and I would love to have you share that one as well.
James Taylor. Well, I can't remember what the story was.
A cell phone. How's that?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. We've had the pleasure of booking the Astros Foundation / New Hope Housing Gala for many years, and the first year was really got off to a great start, where we hired James Taylor and his band to play center field, the Astros home stadium, Minute Maid Park.
Yeah.
And it was a great show, and people were loving it, and on the dance floor, and everybody was taking pictures, of course, of the band with their cell phones. Then, as I recall, he whipped out his, or maybe the one of his band members whipped out their cell phone, his cell phone, and was filming. You have to remind me, because I'm... thought of this.
There was a gentleman down front that had a cell phone, and the band member took the cell phone from him.
That's what it was.
And yeah.
And filmed James and the audience, I think.
It was really cool because he was walking around and he was getting close-up shots of all the band members, and they were right into it. Even had a couple of the bandmates jump up there real quick, you know, on the camera, and then he got some shots of the audience, and then walked back and gave the phone back to him. I mean, that was such a cool thing, you know.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Now
we had.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, just I was thinking of the other people on the gala. We had Diana Ross, and the next year I think, and Earth, Wind, and Fire, and Gladys Knight, and Hool and the Gang, and we've had a lot of fun people at that show, at that gala.
In 2016, this piece that I was reading about, you reported you'd been married at that time to Sanford for 45 years, two incredibly beautiful daughters, and at that time, three grandsons. Now, I also see that you've apparently retired along the way somewhat. How about an update?
Well, I'd like to say I retired, but honestly, I can't imagine what I'd do if I weren't working. I just love this business, and I'm partners now, minority partner with my daughter who's running the business, Annie, and she is really taking it to another level, and it's joy to watch her expand the business dramatically and have the opportunity to book a number of new national artists and new headliners for her age group who now are the CEOs of companies and making these big decisions. So it's really exciting to watch her. You know, I'd like to think I'm a little used to her from time to time.
Well, that's good. That's good. Now, for those wanting to learn more
by
about...
the way,
oh, go ahead.
And by the way, we have four grandchildren now. We have two daughters, and our daughter in New York has two boys, and Annie here has the third grandson and now a little granddaughter. So finally have a granddaughter I can shop and play and go get a mani-pedi with.
And I'll tell you what, I just became a grandfather about a year and a half ago, and I absolutely love it, man. I never thought
it's
I could
fun,
be more in
it?
Love. Yeah, I was seeing that little guy every day or every chance that I get to. I get pictures all the time, and he's just so much fun. Absolutely. For those wanting to learn more about Gulf Coast Entertainment and all the wonderful services that that company provides, let's tell them where they can go get that information, shall we?
Oh, thank you so much, Herb. Our website is gulfcoastentertainment.com, and we're here in Houston, Texas. Call us anytime. We never close. 713-523-7004.
All right, and we will make sure to put a link on the episode so that people can go directly to it. And Susie Kreiner, I want to thank you so much for your time today. I genuinely appreciate the stories that you've shared with us, and I couldn't be more happy. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Herb. It's an honor for me to be invited on your program. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to hearing more. And if you hear somebody following you, it's probably me.
Sounds good. We're always looking for more subscribers. Now, before we end this episode, please allow me to tell you about the Killer Blues Headstone Project. Founded in 2008, Stephen Salter made it his mission to see that blues musicians did not rest in unmarked graves. The result? More than 170 headstones have been placed in 16 states. But Stephen's work continues, and Killer Blues is a registered 501c3. So please consider making a tax-deductible donation today. A link for that information section will be posted on this podcast channel, and I thank you so much for your consideration. And that wraps up this edition of Time Signatures. Once again, my thanks to our guest, Gulf Coast Entertainment founder and owner, Susie Kreiner, but also to you, for without you, none of this would be possible. Jim Irvin reminding you that keeping the blues alive is everyone's responsibility, but preserving the history of the blues, one story at a time, that's my mission. Until next time, so long, everybody.
This has been Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. For more information on CABS, visit capitalareablues.org. You can find this episode and past episodes at lccconnect.org. The Time Signatures theme song, Michigan Roads, is used by permission and was written by Root Doctor, featuring Freddie Cunningham.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up in
Until next time, keep on keeping the blues alive.
This is WLNZ, Lansing. You're listening to LCC Connect Weekly, a radio program from Lansing Community College's podcast network, LCC Connect. Powered by LCC staff, faculty, students, and community volunteers, LCC Connect brings you the voices, vibes, and vision of Lansing Community College and the spirit of Mid-Michigan. We feature more than 30 podcasts that explore education, culture, community, and our connection to the world. To listen on demand, find us at lccconnect.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.